Bible says, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, the Lord our God. You know what? He speaks. Amen? He knows English. He knows Spanish. He knows Hebrew. He knows Greek. He can speak to your heart. If you're deaf, he can still speak to your heart. Lord our God said to us at Horeb, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring peoples in the Arabah, in the mountains, in the western foothills, in the Negev and along the coast, to the land of the Canaanites, to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates. See, I have given you this land. Go and take possession of the land that the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants after them. Lord, I come before you this morning, excited, Lord, come to your word, to dig and mine deep, to find the precious truths, Lord, that you would guide our hearts, that you would form our character, that you would guide us, Lord. Empower us, Lord, as the challenges that beset each one of us would cause us to turn aside. Let us not turn aside, but let us grab onto you and move into the fullness, Lord, of your promise and your covenant for us, Lord. And we'll give you praise for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen, amen, amen. And they could sit right out here, Mike. That's fine. That's fine. Hey, I don't know about you. Anybody play marbles as a kid? You know, now you've got who's got young children? Oh, let's see, Julie and Teresa. Do they still play marbles?
Yeah.
Yeah? No? Yours don't? Yours do. Okay. Well, yours are homeschooled, so they do whatever you tell them to do. But in the grammar schools, Teresa, they don't play that anymore. You know, we used to have, one kid would crack out his marbles and then it would just kind of catch fire, and then everybody would be playing marbles and, and everybody be having a good time. And then the teachers, have to get involved because some kid lost all of his marbles playing keeps. You know what I'm talking about? And they'll come along and say, no more keeps, no keepsies, no keepsies. Well, me and my crew, we played keeps, man. And we come to Deuteronomy. God plays for keeps. Deuteronomy, the second law, or a retelling of the law. Law is for keeps. Back in the day, the format of Deuteronomy in 1400 years before Christ is in the form of a covenant treaty. And in a covenant treaty, there is a contract or a deal or a covenant that is made between a sovereign, a king, and the people. Might be a people that he has conquered. It might be people that want peace. They're going to pay him off not to conquer them. And they would call into witness the gods of the area. God, you will witness this and you will keep track of whether or not we keep our end of the bargain. What is unique in Deuteronomy is that the Hebrews are coming into a covenant with God. And in any deal, title of today's message is Let's Make a Deal. There are promises and there are provision. And we say, yeah, I like that. And you come to a lot of churches, you will hear of the promises and the provision and the care and the forgiveness of God. Amen? That's good. Amen? That's good news. But also, in a covenant, in this covenant is penalties and payment. We don't like that part. Can I get a witness on that? See, there's blessings, which we like, and there's curses, which we would rather avoid. God says, let's make a deal. And he says, make sure you keep your end, because I'm keeping my end. Can I get a witness on that part? God ever let you down? God, you ever been leaning on God, and God says, oh, I don't got time for you today. I got to do my laundry this morning. I got no time for you this morning. I got to do my laundry up in heaven. I got all my angels there. They're having the day off. I got to do my laundry. But sometimes we just get a little bit too busy for God. God says, where you at? Oh, I'm doing my laundry. Got to wash my car. Got to get ready. Got to do this. Got to do that. Got to do something. So make a deal. I'll keep my end, but make sure you keep your end. Deuteronomy is a retelling of the law. Because the first time it went out, it didn't work. First time it went out, guys didn't make it to the promise. They made it to the punishment. Title of today's message, Let's Make a Deal. Let's take a look. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
It's Deuteronomy, man. You know, when I took Old Testament in Bible college, the Old Testament teacher said, you will read the whole Bible, and you will read Deuteronomy in one setting. It takes you 3.5 hours. It was a mind blower. Want to blow your mind? I think I told this to Pastor Carlos. Read Deuteronomy in one setting. 3.5 hours, set aside an afternoon. It'll blow your mind. All right, here we go. Deuteronomy, first three verses, 1-3. These are the words Moses spoke to all Israel. These are the children of Israel. All Israel in the desert east of the Jordan. I got a map. I'll show you what's going on here. That is in the Arabah, opposite Suf, between Paran and Tophel, Laban, Hezeroth, and Dizahab. It takes 11 days to go from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea by the Mount Seir road. In the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses proclaimed to the Israelites all that the Lord, you notice that's all caps there, talking about Yahweh, that Yahweh had commanded him concerning them. And they are indeed on the edge of the promise. I told you I had a map. Here's the map. Let's see. I guess I'll show you on this one. Up here is Israel. Jerusalem, Hebron, Canaan, all those things. Here is Kadesh Barnea, where they had come before. Moses is addressing them on the east side of the Jordan, which is way up here, where they are getting ready to take the promised land. What Moses says, it's 11 days to get from Horeb, which is another name for Mount Sinai, here up to Kadesh Barnea. All right? So what that is, it's the Sinai Peninsula. There's Egypt on the left. There is Israel on the right still. I'll tell you what, you take a look at the news, you're going to see that same picture today. Amen? There's still a focus of our attention on the land of God and the people of God. Hebrews spent 11 months. It takes 11 days to go from Horeb, to go from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, and that Mount Sinai down there at the tip, traditionally down there at the tip of the Sinai Peninsula. What they did for that 11 months was learn how to have relationship with God, that they received the law. They received the Ten Commandments, the tablets. Moses would go to the top of Mount Sinai, and there would be fire, and there'd be earthquakes, and there would be thunder, and there'd be all kinds of stuff. There was a massive display of the power of God. And Moses comes down the mountain, and God says, this is how you will live in relationship with me. And they make this tabernacle, and there's gold all over it, and it's a tent that can be taken down and put down inside, and there is the Ark of the Covenant, and there's the Ten Commandments inside there, and that fire there signifies the presence of God. And the Lord would guide them by a pillar of cloud during the day and fire at night. It'd be rather comforting in the desert to have shade, and rather comforting in the darkness in the wilderness to have light. Can I get a witness on that? So they spend 11 months, 2.5-3 million people being delivered out of Egypt, out of slavery, building this temple of which they can worship, they can make sacrifices, they can do all this stuff, deal with sin, and they live arrayed in a special way oriented to the tabernacle. And it takes them 11 months to get all this done. And then they're ready to go take the promised land, the land that is flowing with milk and honey. Now, you might wonder why it says there the 40th year. Because after the 11-day journey to Kadesh Barnea, on the very edge of the promise, they're doing so good, and the wheels come off. See, the promise of God includes the power of God. And you will experience the power of God as you move through the challenges of your life. Can I get a witness on that? The Israelites came to the challenge of the promised land and turned aside. In the promise, you can find failure, folks. Then all of you came to me and said, now they had gone to Kadesh Barnea, they had spent the 11 months, they're cranking, they got the 11 days at Kadesh Barnea. Let's send men ahead to spy out the land for us and bring back a report about the route we are to take and the towns we will come to. The idea sounds good to me. This is Moses talking. So I selected 12 of you, one man from each tribe, and they left and went up to the hill country and came to the valley of Eshcol and explored it. Taking with them some of the fruit of the land, they brought it down to us and reported, it is a good land. Can I get a witness on that? A land flowing with milk and honey, that's good land. Can I get a witness on that? Do you really like honey? Honey's good stuff. Curds and cream, right? And all that good stuff. It's a good land that our Lord, again, all caps, Yahweh, is giving us. But you were unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And on the very edge of success, on the very edge of the promise, on the very edge of the challenge, they found failure. They sent scouts to go into the land. Came back with proof. Now, this is, 1,200, 1,400 years B.C. That's not a photo. But those are some big grapes. Can I get a witness on that? Anybody seen grapes that big? I'll tell you what, them grapes look about as big around as the apple. And I said, man, it's a good land. But there's giants there. Giant fruit for giant people, the Anakites, ferocious warriors. See, promise of God includes the power of God. You're going to experience the power of God as you move through the challenges of your life. They come to the challenge of the giant fruit, the giant people. And they turn on God. God, have you brought us here just to kill us? You will not find victory when the challenge of your life causes you to turn on the source of your power. Can I get a witness on that? You will not make it through to the promise when you turn on the source of your power. And that is what they did. They were traveling in the presence of God, led by a pillar of fire at night. They had plundered Egypt. They are 1 year out of Egypt. They had crossed through the Red Sea. Moses had raised up his staff and the sea had separated and Pharaoh's army is destroyed. How soon they can forget. Can I get a witness on that? They had experienced the plagues of God, the Nile being turned to blood and flies and frogs and gnats and the plague of the livestock and hail and locusts and darkness. And the plague of the firstborn. And they come to a report of giants in the land. And they believe that it is too big for God. Failure is an option. even as you walk right up to the promise. When I was 18, I had found promise. I had found the... I had two DUIs in 6 months when I was 18. Stole a truck, went to jail. And in the midst of that, after my second DUI, I had reached out to God, called out to God in a very simplistic way, and He had met me and had delivered me out of this stuff, and I was 6 months free and clean of drugs, and which was a miraculous feat for me because I started using drugs as I was 14, 15 years old, and I look back through high school, and every day I had either gotten stoned or drunk or both. And so as I graduated high school and my life is spinning out of control, and I find the sobriety for 6 months, and I'm in the promise, and I'm coming against the challenge, and I'm experiencing the power of God. And I'm in junior college, and I have a dumb lab partner in chemistry, and I'm tutoring him through, and as a thanks for my tutoring him, getting him beyond a D, he leads me back into drugs. See, on the edge of victory, you can find failure. That's what happened to the tribe of Israel. Trust will take you beyond your fear. Come to know and love the Lord your God, your Savior, amen? Come to experience His power, it will take you beyond fear. Amen? All right. We came out of Deuteronomy 1, 22 and 26. We read 1 through 3. We opened up with 4 through 6. So we're skipping through, as my Savior, we're going too fast. So we're halfway through chapter 2 right here. 38 years passed from the time we left Kadesh Barnea until we crossed the Zered Valley. By any chance, is anybody here 38 years old? How old are you, Roki? How old are you, Tommy?
I was 38 once.
That's good. You guys are moving right into failure. That's what I'm seeing right there. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, Joe, I think you're three times older, I'm three times older than you. He goes, how old are you, Dad? I go, I think I'm 54. I said, wait a minute, what year is it? And he started laughing. Okay. By then, I didn't figure it out, it was 2015. By then, that entire generation of fighting men had perished from the camp as the Lord had sworn to them. The Lord's hand was against them until He had completely eliminated them from the camp. The wilderness is a place to die. Consequences of rebellion is judgment. Consequences of failure is penalty. I was lost in drugs and alcohol for another 10 years. Lord said, you want to go? Go. And I went. Paid the penalty. 10 more years. They had rebelled against God. God brought us out of Egypt just to kill us. Rebellion. Because of that rebellion, God brought judgment upon them. Deuteronomy 1:35, this is the curse that God placed upon them for their rebellion. Not a man of this evil generation shall see the good land I swore to give your forefathers. 38 years wandering in an area that is not any bigger than San Diego County. 11 days from here to here. 38 years, right in there. Kind of like, get up, move across the road. Get up, I mean, you got 3 million people. That generation has died off. All those that had offended God, had rebelled against God, had died off. And the Hebrews, as a nation, are once again coming around to the opportunity of the promise. Promise of God includes the power of God. You experience the power of God in the challenges of your life. The Hebrews are coming back around to the challenge and have the opportunity once again to experience the power and the promise. Amen? Amen. So I don't know what you got going on in your life, but I know some of you've got some challenges. Can I get a witness on that? And some of you are going, I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if God is with me. And in the midst of that, God has already proved himself to you in your life. Has anybody experienced the power of God? Amen? And still, we come up to a new challenge. And we go, oh, am I going to make it through? And God has given you enough in the past to grab onto to make it through. Amen? All right, let's take a look at what we got here. All right. Promises on everybody's mind. They are getting ready to head in. Continue reading. The promise is past the challenge. The promise is on the other side of the challenge. He says, set out now. Cross the Arnon Gorge. See, I have given into your hand Sihon the Amorite. That's a king. King of Heshbon. And his country. He says, begin to take possession of it and engage him in battle. Does that sound pretty clear? Got a guy, you got a place, you got a name, got everything, right? He says, this very day I will begin to put the terror and fear of you in all the nations under heaven. That's kind of advantageous as you're heading into war. Can I get a witness on that? I mean, everybody's afraid of you. I like that part. They will hear reports of you and they will tremble and be in anguish because of you. Oh, yeah, let's go. From the desert of Kedemoth, I sent messengers to Sihon, king of Heshbon, offering peace. We're going to come back to that in a second. To get to the promise, you have to move through the challenge. And this is somewhat a greater challenge to this nation than the previous nation because, now they were being led night and day by the presence of God. Pillar of fire, pillar of smoke, cloud of smoke. They were receiving the provision of God, manna from heaven every day, except on the Sabbath. Get twice on the day before the Sabbath. But the defeat of Pharaoh's army was distant memory 38 years before. The crossing of the Red Sea was a story that they learned as children. The plagues, the Nile being turned to blood and flies and gnats and frogs and livestock and hail and darkness, locusts, death of the firstborn. Stories we heard as we were growing up. And so as they have been told to take the land, there is a greater challenge to them who find victory than for those who had come before them and who had doubted God. And so I don't know what challenge you've got this morning, but I'll let you know that Sihon and Og, his partner, both get defeated by the people of God. Can I get a witness on that? When the message of God and the word of God comes to you and says, I'm going to guide you through this, you can grab onto that promise, grab onto that power, because you're going to be going through a challenge. Amen? I have found that the promises of God in my life revolve around something that is bigger than I can accomplish on my own. If I can get it done on my own, I don't need God, and God don't need me. He says, just go out and do that. You can do that on your own. We're going to do something that's too big for you. It's going to cause you to rely upon me. It's going to cause you to grab onto my power in the midst of your challenge and find my promise for you. And that is what happened to these people. They go to war, and they utterly defeat Sihon. In the beginning of chapter 3, they utterly defeat Og, who's got a 13-foot bed. This is a big dude. Can I get a 13? Anybody got a 13-foot bed? You know, I came out today, and my son, is 6'5", is sleeping on the love seat. And it's so small, in his sleep, he's holding onto the back to keep him onto that thing. He'd probably love a 13-foot bed. I was going to take a picture, but I thought that'd be too much. Hebrews go to war. They utterly annihilate 60 cities of Sihon and Og. Why? Because they're in the way. That's where they're moving. They're moving in. God's people are moving in, stepping into that promise. And in the midst of this, in the midst of see this guy, move on this guy, attack this guy, I'm sending fear, I'm sending dread, I'm sending all this stuff, and Moses' response is offers of peace. I'm not seeing that in there. You can read that when you're done. I don't see any peace up now. Send across and send them envoys of peace. Maybe they'll make a treaty with. No. And I think Moses is kind of making it up as he's going along. Everybody's gone. Everybody's dead. Everybody has passed away that is suffering in the curse of God except one guy. Moses. Moses is the only one left. Things don't work out when you just kind of make it up along the way. Have you found that out? We had a wonderful display of obedience in our home this last week. I have showed pictures of the fabulous Oldsmobile Super 88 that my son and I are working on and refinishing. My wife's ready to have it leave the garage. It's been in there, she says, for 2 long years. And so last Monday, we were going to just touch up the paint on the hood and touch up the paint on the trunk. And I said, okay, Joe, you know, hey, we're going to tape it up. We're going to get it ready. We're going to shoot it tomorrow. And Amber comes over. Amber's his girlfriend. You know Amber. She's around here. And he says, Amber, you want to hear the super run? And I'm thinking, well, the Super hasn't run in 6 months. Chances of the Super running are pretty slim. And, yes, did not run. And he says, Dad, I want to push the Super out of the garage so I can sweep it out so it's nice and clean for the paint. I said, there's no need, son. No need, son. I have blown it out already. It's ready to go. All we're going to do is tape it, take a look at it, sand it up a little bit. It's ready to go. And I, in my fatigue, after preaching and sitting watching the Padres game, and about 15 minutes later, I hear, oh, oh, my wonderful son has sought to push the car out anyway. And he had tested the brakes on the flat ground. But the driveway is far from flat, oh, yes. And so the Super 88, filled with Amber, and the inability to smash the brake pedal hard enough because there was no brake fluid in the reservoir, careened down the driveway, across the street, and into the neighbor's pickup, who had also been working on for 2 years so that he could prepare it to sell. And had just got it licensed the week before and was parking it on the street on display to sell. So I am now the proud owner of a slightly crunched pickup truck. And my son will be working on all this summer for free. Because with disobedience comes penalty. And he will be living that out. I hope that hasn't happened to you. I hope that you can indeed, and you know, as my wife says, oh yes, he was feeling quite bad. You think maybe? Yeah, he was feeling quite bad. I didn't need to tell him that he did bad. He already knew. And that is what happens when the judgment of God comes upon you. Have you discovered that to be true? When I went back into drugs and alcohol and lost 10 years of my life, I knew I was messing up. The question is how long you're going to stay until you spin around. Because, see, the promise of God includes the power of God. You experience that power when you move through the challenges of your life. Amen? All right, here we go. Last thing. God's looking for somebody to come through. Come through for him. Now this is chapter 3, all right? Slipping a whole chapter ahead. And basically the end of chapter 2 and beginning of chapter 3 is the defeat of Sihon, the defeat of Og. At that time, I commanded Joshua, you have seen with your own eyes all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. The Lord will do the same to all the kingdoms over there. That's in, you know, in the promised land on the other side of the Jordan. The Lord will do the same to all those kingdoms over there where you're going. Don't be afraid of them. The Lord your God himself will fight for you. And he says, you ain't seen nothing yet. And I don't know what the Lord has done for you. And I know the Lord has done some pretty awesome things for many of you. Amen. He's done some mighty, mighty things in my life. And he says, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because I'm just getting you ready for the big time. That whatever you have experienced, this is what he tells Joshua. He says, man, you guys have got some serious victory right here, but it ain't nothing compared to the victory that you got coming up. Because you're going to take the whole land. And we can talk about taking Jericho and talk about taking the cities of the plain. There are great victories in front of Joshua, and he says, don't be afraid. Grab on to the experience that God has given you. Grab on to his power as you move through challenge after challenge after challenge into his promise. Amen? Can I get a witness on that? So many of you have great and incredible challenges arrayed, and those challenges are opportunities to experience the power of God and display his glory in your life. Joshua's experienced that power. God says, get used to it. The power that you have just experienced will be with you as you move into my promise. One guy left, Moses. Moses can't go. At that time, I pleaded with the Lord. This is the following verses. Telling Joshua, be strong, be courageous, take the land. And he pleads with God, O sovereign Lord, you have begun to show to your servant your greatness and your strong hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do the deeds and mighty work you do? Let me go over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, that fine hill country in Lebanon. But because of you, the Lord was angry with me and would not listen to me. That is enough, says the Lord. Don't speak to me anymore about this. This is 40 years in, folks. They are all the way up on the east side of the Jordan. And Moses says, God, you have begun to really reveal yourself to me. Man, I'm just kind of getting a handle on this. Why don't you let me go over and scope out this land and all the good stuff that you got in front of us? Because now I'm kind of barely getting a grip on this. And I don't know if you've read Exodus, but I'll tell you what, God was there when Moses was a baby. Amen? Pharaoh was killing all the male, the little boy Egyptians, or Hebrews. Because why? Because there was a deliverer that was coming out. And God's miraculous hand deposits Moses into the household of Pharaoh's daughter. That's a miracle. Can I get a witness on that? I mean, you could grab on to that power and it would take you through some challenges. Amen? I mean, he speaks to God in a burning bush. That kind of stick in the back of your head, wouldn't it? He had raised his staff and parted the Red Sea 40 years earlier. Plagues of blood, gnats, frogs, flies, livestock, hail, darkness, locusts, death of the firstborn. You'd think that would have stuck in the back of his head. Can I get a witness on it? God, you're just barely showing me your power. And God's going, what are you talking about, boy? You have lived from day one under my power. Don't come to me now and tell me that it's my shortcoming. I don't want to hear about it. Don't speak to me anymore. And it's not about them. It's all about you. You're the last one left. You're not going through. Moses hit the rock at Horeb. Numbers 20:12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I gave them. All about Moses. Moses can't go. Didn't keep the covenant. Didn't keep up his end. He had experienced the promise of God. He experienced the power of God. Failed in the challenge. At least you can come up and play. I don't know where you're at. Maybe you can really relate to my going back to drugs when I was 18 years old after 6 months straight. Challenges of life caused me to turn away from the Lord. And there was judgment. There was penalty. The Lord's hand was against me. Did not allow me to succeed in that rebellion. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're feeling rather heavy, thinking, have I failed God? Have I failed the covenant? Have I gone too far? I have a verse for you this morning from the book of Hebrews. Speaks of the very rebellion that God speaks to the children of Israel. God speaks to Moses. It says, so as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. During the time of testing in the desert where your fathers tested and tried me and for 40 years saw what I did. I don't know what you've done. And I don't need to know what you've done. Because God knows what you've done. And as I read this text out of the book of Hebrews, that if you this morning hear the voice of God, it's not too late for you. God is touching your heart and says, my son, my daughter, I see the challenges of your life. I see the trials. I see your failure. But I call you out of darkness into light. I call you to join me in my promise. I call you to experience the power of the kingdom, and to move from challenge to challenge to challenge. as you pursue the promise of my son. That message comes through to you this morning. It's not too late for you. You might have had 38 years in the wilderness. It might be 40 years. If God is speaking to your heart this morning, it's not too late. So I hold out to you the promise of God and the opportunity of God. Pray with me, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Lord, I have fallen short so much in my life. Lord, I have turned away, turned aside from the challenges of my life, not trusting in your power to take me through. I thank you for the message in Hebrews. I thank you that your Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts this morning. I thank you that with your promise comes power that we can experience in our lives, Lord. And as we experience that power, that we can grab onto that promise and experience your presence, Lord, to take us through challenge after challenge after challenge, that we can develop trust and fullness and faith, Lord. And perhaps you're sitting here this morning and the Holy Spirit is just talking right to you. He's saying the desert is a place to die. And you've been in the desert too long. Time to cross over. Time to take my hand, experience my power, and move into my promise for your life. For some of you this morning, the weight of failure will slide off. The frustration of years in the wilderness dissipate. The Holy Spirit would just reach and grab your hand and say, come with me, child. We'll make it through. Nobody looking around this morning, but just the Holy Spirit just has his arms upon you this morning. It's 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 upon you this morning.